Kumlen and Ablach Gemara, we're now Pei Vav Amar Aleph, and we all hope today that the current President of the United States, the big Oy Yisroel, should have another 4 years so that he can help the Eden out. Okay, the Mishnah, about 12, 13, 14 lines from the top of the page, says the Mishnah, so we're talking about Erev Chatzeres, that the number of houses sharing one courtyard, then the courtyard is considered public compared to the house, which is private, only one family. Now, what happens if somebody has a house in the courtyard amongst others, but he's not there, the premises are empty? Does he still have to be involved in the Erev or not? Says the Mishnah. How many are based if somebody leaves his house behind in Vahalach Lishbois Bira Chedes, and he went to move into another city, it doesn't matter, temporarily or permanently? Echad Nochri. The Echad Yisrael, a Yid or a Goy, makes no difference. Hareze Oyser. As long as it's the house that causes the problem, there's another house there that has rights to the Chatzar, and therefore you need to include that house in your Ediv. David Abuda says, no, it's not the house, it's the people in the house. Einoy Oyser. It does not Aser, because it's not considered a dwelling place as far as Ediv is concerned. Rabbi Yossi Emrezi says, Nochri, if it's a Goy, Oyser, the Asers. Why? Because he says, even though the house itself is not the Iser, it's the people, and there are no people there, but a Goy can always return on Shabbos. But Yisrael ain't a Iser, but Yisrael does not ask it. If they went away further than Tchum Shabbos, then the likelihood is he won't be returning on Shabbos. Ain't the Yisrael love Shabbos. He might return next week. We'll worry about it then. But he won't return on Shabbos. Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon says, a feeling near Beisa, even if he went not beyond Tchum Shabbos, he left the house for Shabbos, and v'holach lishbois eitzel bitte, went to visit his daughter's house, ba'oiseir, and remained there on Shabbos, eina oiser. He does not aser, why not? Shekvar hisiyeh meliba, he moved himself from his current house for that Shabbos. So therefore, he does not aser, you don't have to involve him in the Erev. Rav says, halachik Rav Shimon. Now I have an interesting comment about life, the Gemara says here. V'davke bitte. Davke, when it comes that he went to visit his daughter's house, do we say that in all likelihood, with the intention of staying, in all likelihood, he'll remain there for Shabbos, duration of Shabbos? Abba Benoyle, if he went to stay with his son, if within the Tchum, you can't automatically assume that he remains staying the entire Shabbos. Why not? The Gemara is saying as follows. The Gemara is saying here is that people generally are much more comfortable staying in their daughter's house than their son's house. Because in the daughter's house, even they don't get on best with their son-in-law, it's still their daughter, and they feel the daughter's, you know, in charge of the house, so they feel comfortable. If it's their son's house, and they don't get on with the daughter-in-law, they just don't feel comfortable. And that's just how it is. So the Gemara has a saying here. Tzadik Gemara. The Amnesia people say, Novrbo Kalbo, if a male dog barks at you, oh, stay there, don't run away. Novrbo Guraisa, if a female dog barks at you, puk, leave. If you don't get on with your son-in-law, it's not the end of the world. You can still stay there. You will still stay there, maybe, because you get on with your daughter. If you don't get on with your daughter-in-law, then you're not going to want to stay there. Says the Gemara, they can have some pictures there, so it'll help, because we're going to learn about this. This we talked about a few times already. You have two courtyards, and between the two courtyards, there's a dividing wall, so each courtyard is separate and have their own chitzis, whatever, their own gative, or even just one house in each courtyard. And then underneath that wall, you have a cistern. You have a well, a pit, with water. And the question is, can you draw water from the, can you draw on Shabbos water from the well? Because the well sort of is one well and the water mixes all together from both sides. So we have a number of opinions. And in the Mishnah, then a number of opinions in the Gemara, how to understand the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Boyd, you have a pit, Shebein Shtei Chatzeres, between two courtyards. Ein Memala Ben Shabbos. You cannot draw water from the Shabbos because the pit is still considered a common area because the people in both courtyards have rights to it. You need to make an eidah between yourselves. If you didn't, you cannot draw water. Either, you know, you make an eidah or you make a mechitza of a wall that is 10 tvachim high. Where should this wall be? Bein melmata, bein metech oignoi. Whether below, we'll soon see what that means, or whether within the rim, whether below, whether within the rim. Says the Gemara, Within the rim means that you make a suspended wall, even though it's not in the water, as long as it's within the pit. It's entirely within the pit, that even though it's not touching the water, it's still good enough. And this is a leniency we learned before already, that by water we have these suspended walls are good. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, this is actually an argument, Bishame says, it has to be below. We'll see later what that means. Does it mean inside the water, or it means right above the water? Basil says, Milmaila means right above the water, but right, you know, touching contiguous the water, or it means even much higher up, as long as it's inside the pit. You have a wall, straddles both properties, or divides both properties, and that wall is suspended above the pit. That's good enough. You don't need another wall inside the pit itself. Says the Gemara, Amar Avuna says, what does it mean when it says Lamata Lamaila? Says Avuna, when Beshame says Lamata, you know Lamata means? Lamata means Lamata Mamish. It's above the water, right next to the water. And Lamaila means Lamaila Mamish. It means it can be very high, much higher than the water line or close to it, but as long as it's Zevet above, it's inside the pit. Let's say the pit is another, you know, a well. It might be 10 feet between the water and the top of the well. So according to Bishamre, it has to be right on top of the water. According to Bishamre, it will be all the way top, you know, the top of the well, and 9 feet away from the water. It's good, all right, as long as it's inside the well. You know, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Lamatim is Lamatim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it has to be inside the water itself, inside the bottom of the well. And this is what Bishamre meant. And it means that's set on the floor. That's how Rashi learns, other than differently. And Lamaila means Lamaila min Amayim. And Lamaila means right above the water, but contiguous to it. In other words, the Lamata of Rav Huna is the Lamaila of Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda's Lamata is inside the pit, all the way up, sitting on the floor. So, Amalei Rav Rabbi, I don't understand that Rav Yehuda's view in Beis Shammai. How does Yehuda Lamata, Lamata ben Amayim? And he said Lamata means inside the well, all the way there. It has to be mamish in the water, on the floor. It seems that he learned the reason you need it all the way there is because you physically have to separate the water. So how does that help? The water right above it. No good. So even if you put it on the floor of the water, right above the wall, the water mixes. What did he gain? If he doesn't like put it, you know, above the water in the well or on top of the water, it has to be all the way on the floor because he wants to keep the water separate. How does that help? If, let's say, above the 10 fachim line, all the water mixes together. Amalei Abayi answered, L'shmila chodam Yehuda, didn't you hear Yehuda said, Amar Rav, name Rav, Umati ba'ad ha'seh, Mishir Abchir, name Abchir, he says, Tzorich sheyiru roshen shalkanim l'mayla min ha'mayim. You have to, that this wall that goes to the floor has to actually rise above the water. Above the, you know, you have to see the tips of the wall above the water. So he actually keeps the water separate. Keeps the water separate. Okay, Tefach. Says the Gemara, Vesu. Let's understand the second part of Yehuda. He heard according to Beis Hillel, it could be above the water, but it has to be contiguous to it. Hodom, if you above the water, why does he hold that you can't have too high above the water, like all the way on top of the pit, just within the rim, that even Maya, because the water below mixes together. So even if you drop the wall, it shouldn't be all the way on top of the well, but, you know, further down the well. But as long as it's sitting at top of the water, it's not dividing any of the water. The water is separate, is all mixed together. So what did he achieve? What's the difference if it's sitting, the wall sitting right above the water or sitting way up on top of the pit? And this is a question of Huna as well. Well, yeah, what's the logic in that? Amalei l'shmilo, did you hear? By answer, did you hear? Hodatana Yaakov karchino. Tzorich sheyishka roshe kanim b'mayim tefach. He says, when we say that we need the mechitza, that partition, right above the water inside the well, and contiguous to it, it has to go into the water at least one tefach. So, according to Beis Shammai, the partition has to touch the floor. And according to Beis Hillel, it's enough just to look like it's dividing the water, so it has to be slightly in the water at least one tefach. So this other dinner we heard of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said that a koira beam, if you have, let's say, a beam, you have a house in ruins, a dilapidated house, and you have and everything, you know, collapsed and everything else, but you have a beam that crosses that is 4 tefachim wide. And it's for, you know, it's 4 tefachim long. He's saying you're allowed to carry underneath it. Why? Because he says we imagine that the ends of that board comes right down. Pitikra, the end of the board, Yoyrid Vesaisa, comes down. We have these imaginary walls. And why? Even though it's suspended walls, there's no real walls there. What you have is a beam there, which is the ceiling. Because he holds that a suspended wall is matter as well. And we need it to be, even these imaginary walls, we need, in order for walls to be considered walls, you need a space between them of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So therefore this board that goes across in this house of ruins that used to have a full ceiling, now it's only a partial ceiling, still has to be 4 tefachim long and 4 tefachim wide. Rab Nachman, the name Ravu, Koide Arba Materes B'mayim. Nachman, the name of Ravu, says, Koide Arba Materes B'mayim. He says that a beam that's 4 tefachim is also matter by water. If you have this pit between 2 courtyards and you have going across that pit a board that's 4 tefachim wide, 4 tefachim long, it's good enough. That's the din of Nachman's name of Abu. My question is, I don't understand. If all you have is a board that goes, you're saying that just like in the house, you have a plank that goes, a board from the ceiling, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, with imaginary walls. You tell me the same thing applies to the cistern, that you have this 4 tefachim board on top of the well that goes from one side to the other, and it's 4 tefachim wide, 4 tefachim long, and covers the whole thing. So, l'chayda, I don't understand. If I can stand in the well from one courtyard and throw my bucket, and it will go right into the water on the other guy's courtyard, not separated at all. How can you tell me that's good enough? And this imaginary wall sort of somehow or another divides these two properties. It says the Gemara, why can't my pail go to the other side of the pit? Umaisi, and bring water from there. So the chayda, it's all being mixed together. So the Gemara, Kim le Rabban, Rabbanan assumed, the ain deli mahalach yesem arba tefachim, that when you drop your pail, generally it's pretty vertical. And even if it's very high up, it'll go a little bit at an angle, it won't go more than 4 tefachim outside. So therefore, you'll never go into your neighbor's property. So you might be fine. But it'll go under the beam. It won't be on my side of the beam. And under the beam, we can both sort of mix. The entire beam is only 4 tefachim wide. So it comes out my pail and his pail will overlap. But underneath the beam, the water is all mixed together. And we said before, if you hold, you need to divide the mechitza, according to Beisham, the mechitza has to be into the floor, according to Beisil, at least a little bit of the partition has to go into the water. And here, all you have is the beam in the top, and the water itself is all mixing together. How is that good enough? It says, it must be from the kalu shekilacham b'mayim. It's a leniency that we made by water, that even we don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda, but we paskin like Rabbi Huna, that according to Rabbi Shammai, the mechitza can be above the water. It may be touching the water, but because it still holds, it can be on top of the pit, even though it's not even close to the water, as long as it's inside the pit. Because normally suspended wall is not good, but here it'll be good because of the leniency that we have by water. Rav Tavlon wants to ask another question. It's a suspended wall. Is that good enough when it comes to this house and ruins? The only place that it functions is by water. The leniency that we enabled people to draw water on Shabbos to drink. So we made certain leniencies, for example, the suspended wall. So by water, we don't need the mechitza actually touching the water. It could be suspended in the air. And we don't even have to see that the water is divided. But everywhere else we do. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda, like Tim Chizkiyahu says, I say that since you have already an existing partition between the two courtyards, and that partition goes right across the pit, okay, albeit on top of the pit, that's good enough. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda follows the view of Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar believes that mechitza tluya, suspended mechitza materes afil beyabasha, works even on dry land. So if a mechitza works on dry land, and here he's saying the same thing, this is suspended mechitza because it's just going right in the airspace of the bar on top of the pit, and you tell me it's good enough. What's this, Rabbi Yasi? That now we learned regarding a sukkah. Hamishaul shel defanais, if somebody lowers walls. Milmaila lamata, in other words, you have these walls that started from high up, and it's working its way down by a sukkah. Bizman shigavoy mil gimel tefachim, if the wall comes down within, you know, above 3 tefachim from the ground, so it's possible, because goats can go underneath it and break this imaginary wall of it. But if it's below 3 tefachim, then we say goats cannot go there, and it's a valid wall. But then he says here, but milmato lemaila, if you have a wall that starts on the ground and works its way up to the schach, and it's only 10 tvachim high, im gvoyt tvachim shele, even though the schach might be 20 tvachim high, if the wall is 10 tvachim, it's halachically considered a wall, and it's a valid mechitza, as we're learning in Gemara Sukkah. But what's this Rabbi Yossi? This is what we're trying to read Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, kishem shelemato lemaila, just like starting from the ground up, asara, 10 tvachim is sufficient. Kach milmaila lemata, starting from the ceiling down, asara, 10 tvachim is enough, and it doesn't matter that it's still, let's say, 8 tvachim above the ground and goats can come in, it doesn't matter. Suspended mechitza is a valid mechitza. So the Rabbi Yehuda Mishnah holds that this wall that goes over the top of airspace of the pit is good because the suspended mechitza will agree with Rabbi Yossi regarding a sukkah. Says the Gemara, no, v'lohi, there's no comparison between the two dinim. Why not? Loi Rabbi Yehuda, so the Rabbi Yehuda does not necessarily agree with Rabbi Yossi. Loi Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. There's a stringency in sukkah over Shabbos, and the stringency in Shabbos over sukkah, and therefore we cannot automatically assume that whatever they hold by sukkah, they would hold by Shabbos, and vice versa. What's the story? Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, by Shabbos, who allows the suspended wall, does not necessarily agree by a sukkah, because the whole idea here is only midrabbanon. Right, the whole thing over here is to have an Eruv, is only Rabbanim, Hater, it's all a private place anyway, it doesn't matter. So therefore, because Rabbanim, he was lenient, suspended wall is good enough, even though it just goes in the airspace of the bird. Ava sukkah, the rice, but a sukkah is from the Torah, no. Sukkah is from the Mahatayra, you need the walls. Two and a bit, or three and a bit, whatever. So since we will see in the Gemara Machlekes, since you need walls, Mahatayra, you need a proper wall. Can't have these suspended walls. So he won't agree with Rabbi Yossi. But later, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, neither would Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, after the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Sukkah, only Meva Sukkah, he was lenient the Isur Aseyu. If you eat outside of a Sukkah, you didn't commit a loisus, an avera, which you get lashes, you just didn't do the mitzvah you should have done. Avos Shabbos, but Shabbos, even though it's only the Rabbanon, but it's based on the Torah, we're scared that if we allow you to carry in a courtyard from your house, next time you'll carry from your courtyard or from the house into the street, and that's also our Torah. So there's a tinge of the Torah here. Avos Shabbos is a skill, and if you did an aver in the Torah, you get it's a negative aver, you get punished for it. Maybe Leoma, maybe there he's much more stricter, because he says, I don't allow suspended mechitzes. If you tell me, you can ask me a question. What about that story that happened in Tzipori? And we know that, and it's about a suspended wall, and the rabbi in Tzipori allowed it. And you're telling me Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree by Shabbos, suspended walls are all right. And we know who was the chief rabbi of Tzipori, Rabbi Yossi. And in Tzipori, they always follow Rabbi Yossi's view. What's the story? We'll see in a minute. So my answer is, Loi al pi Rabbi Yossi, this didn't happen based on Rabbi Yossi's ruling, El al pi Rabbi Shmo b'Rabbi Yossi Nasa. It was his son, and his son might have disagreed with his father. But you cannot bring a proof from there that it was Rabbi Yossi. Now, what's the story? We'll have the story of Sukkah as well. The Chioso, Rav Dimi came from Israel. Omri once said, Pamach has once happened, Shochet, they forgot, V'lehevi'u sefer Torah mibo'oidem. They forgot to bring a sefer Torah on Shabbos. A sefer Torah was sitting in one of the houses, and they forgot to bring it. Different opinions where the Sefer Torah was. Rashi here and Rashi and Sukkah has different interpretations. But basically, it's easy to learn as it was in one house in this particular chatzar, and they forgot to bring it to the shul that was in the chatzar. So they wanted to carry it from the house to the shul, but they didn't make an Erev in the courtyard. So how did they do that? So what they did was as follows. Lamach, the next day, there was a bunch of pegs lined up in the chatzah. So what they did was they put a bunch of sheets on it. Suddenly you had two walls from the house. Suddenly you had a walkway or a laneway from the house to the shul. And therefore it was no longer like common ground. And so you had like a mechitzah within the chatzah itself. And you were able to walk from the house, they had a sefer Torah, all the way to the shul where you wanted to put it in. And the people in the chatzah no longer asked each other because they had no access to it. The only access to this particular laneway was the house, one house, and the other end was the shul. And therefore, the rest of the people in the chatzah, you know, couldn't get in through the mechitzah. They got into the shul through a back door, through another door, but they couldn't get in through the mechitzah. So therefore, there was no longer a common property. It was only one house, And they're the only ones who had access to this laneway. So the following day, spread out these sheets on these pegs. And they read there. Now these sheets didn't go to the floor. They were suspended in mechitzas. So here we see that Rabbi Yossi, even in Shabbos, allowed suspended mechitzas, at least by Erev Chatzeres. So we answered it wasn't Rabbi Yossi, it was the sun. Says the Gemara, how were they allowed to do that? The Chatzchila Mishari, we learned before that if an Eidiv was erected on Shabbos, sorry, walls were erected on Shabbos, you can align it. But Chatzchila, to build walls on Shabbos for that purpose, you can't. Well, Hakol Moedim, and even though these are temporary walls, and we said before, you're allowed to add it to temporary walls, but not to create temporary walls. Hakol Moedim, Shinoishne, allowed to Shabbos, you're not allowed to create temporary walls. We had, you know, Rabbi Lezer and all those who argue, but the window there, and you have a, you know, if you have a window cavity, and you had something to seal it, it has to be suspended, according to Rabbi Lezer, had to be tied already and suspended there before you can put it back in, the plug. According to Chamim, you can always put it back in, because you can always take it out, so it's like a suspended thing was already there before. So already have a partial oil, so you can continue it. But to create a partial mechitzah, who's allowed to? So Gemara asks a question. Everyone agree you're not allowed to make it. Answer the Gemara. Elamotzu sadine prusin alamudim. The story there was they didn't do it on Shabbos. It was already there from before Shabbos. These sheets were hanging there, but they weren't hanging there to be a mechitzah. They were hanging there, let's say, to dry, or they were hanging there for some other purpose. And then, now suddenly they realized they needed to be a mechitza. They said, you know what, this will be a mechitza. So they did nothing physically. Maybe he's a tailor of a carbon, but they were able to read it. Omar Rabba, Rabbi Huda, who says that you can rely on a suspended mechitza when it comes to water, and Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, Omar Dover Echad, say one thing. And here you have to look at some pictures. Rabbi Yehuda Adama, we just learned that the wall that divides the two properties, you know, crosses over the airspace of the pit, and that is good enough. However, we said further, what's Chananya ben Akavya? We learned Chananya ben Akavya, Eimer, Chananya, the Tanya, we learned the Braisa, Chananya ben Akavya says, Gizustra, you have this little, you know, so these two pegs sticking out from a wall, and you have a board that goes over it, so like a little balcony. Bo arba amas al arba amas. It's so the measure of this particular board is 4 amas by 4 amas. That was 24 by 24 tefachim. Now this is important. You have no walls there. It's sticking out from the wall of your house. A flat board that's 24 by 24. And you want to be able to. And right beneath it, there's a pit of water. You want to be able to draw water. Remember, we said you need at least suspended mechitzas. Okay, we learned Beis Hillel says, and that has to be in the mechitza has to be inside the pit. But we also learned Rabbi Yehuda says it can be above the pit, the wall that divides the two properties. So over here, above the pit, this is what we're going to do. You bore a hole that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. That leaves you 10 tefachim on all the sides, right? It's 24 tefachim. The measure is 24 by 24. If you bore a hole right in the middle, leaves you 10. That's 4 by 4. And you need a 10th fachim on all those sides. We imagine that all the horizontal sides suddenly drop down, they become vertical walls. So each wall now is 10th fachim, is 10th fachim high, which is a passive wall, and between them there's a space of 4th fachim. And we learned before, in order for a wall to be considered a wall, it has to encompass an area of 4 by 4. And you have that. So this is similar to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you have these imagined, that a suspended wall, even above the ground, is considered good enough. So that's what we're saying. Rabbi Yehuda, Chananya Kavya, is saying the same thing. Chananya Kavya, Megazustra, this plank, she is, but Arba Amzal Arba Amzal has 24 by 4. You bore a hole, that's 4 by 4. Umemala, you can fill water from there. Umle Abai Vadimalahi, you can't compare the two, because Chananya Kavya is going way further than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says a suspended wall is good enough. Here you're doing two things. First you're having an imaginary wall, and then you're suspending it. First of all, there's no wall there. It's all horizontal, this plank. So first of all, you're imagining that we break that horizontal wall and we turn it down, make it vertical on all sides. So that's one imagination. And then it's suspended. Who should Rabbi Yehuda go so far? We imagine suspended. But to bend it, and then to imagine suspended light. No. Until when did Chananya Kani say this? So on the other hand, when did Chananya ben Akavya say his din? In fact, not only that, you can't say, on the other hand, Chananya Kavya definitely agrees that Rabbi Yehuda suspended walls all right, because he's straight above the well. We'll see in a minute, that's not what he's talking about, that's what we thought. And therefore, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda plus. No. Rabbi Chaim Mekavitz's case is a very specific case. It was in the case of Tveria. He was matre to the people of Tveria. And because he was matre to the people of Tveria, what do we know about Tveria? Hoyl v'yeshlo, and this particular house was overlapping in the Tveria. Tveria had walls all around it. V'yeshlo oignim, it had walls around it, and everyone was able to see the rim around the Yam Tveria. And because the walls were there, it was noticeable. Therefore, he allowed the suspended mechitzah, because nobody's going to make a mistake and think that other places permitted. Because here, actually, you do have walls around it. And even though it's a karfif, because it's a much larger area than Tucson or that. Nevertheless, the smallest token thing that you do, like this imaginary board that goes down, you know, that goes down vertically, is enough. It has cities all around it. Everybody, the people live around there. Everybody knows what's going on. Maybe he would hold in an ordinary case of a well. He wouldn't be happy just with a suspended wall. So therefore, you cannot prove that either would link the two. Amar Rabbi is the Bible. Let me go a bit further. You need pictures for this. Let's go further. Now we're imagining that the horizontal wall would become vertical. If it was next to a wall, the pachas megimot tvachim. So this horizontal board was within 3 tvachim of a wall. Tzorech shehei orka dal damas. Okay, you're right. You need a length should be 4 amas, 24. So we have two walls there that will, you know, if you bore a hole, that's 4 tvachim. That's 4 tvachim. You still have 10 tvachim in the length to come down on both sides. So now we have two walls coming down. Your third wall, because you're within 3 tvachim of the wall of the house, is your third wall. And where's your fourth wall? The roch v'achad osan mashi. You make the width, if you extend it out from the house, how the board should be, the thickness of the board should be 11 and a bit. And what do we gain by that? So one, since it's within 3 tvachim of the house, we take off a tefach and a little bit. So we say that's within 4 tvachim of your house, and that is your hole where you go down to the well, and leaves you 10 tvachim that you can drop down and make it into a vertical wall. So you have now 4 walls. You have the wall of the house on one side, you have the length of the board, which is 24 tvachim, and you have a hole in the middle, so it leaves you 10 tvachim on each side, that's 2 walls. And then the board itself extends 11 and a bit, 1 and a bit of that we're using for the connecting to the house, and the balance 10, it comes right down. Okay, so that's how it works. Then we go to the next case that you have to visualize. Hoisas kufa. If the board, instead of being horizontal, was vertical. If you have a vertical board sticking out from your house, jutting out, here we need it to be asar tvachim. So you have the wall of your house, you have the wall of the board that is parallel to the house, it's vertical, 10 tvachim. But we need that v'reich v'vav. It should be 6 tvachim wide, v'shnei mashahun. So therefore, we imagine that a tefach and a bit of each end, so the board itself is 4 tvachim, and then we take a tefach and a bit from each side, and we imagine that we bend it towards the house. And because you bend it towards the house, and it's less than 3 tvachim of the wall of the house, so you have a tefach and a bit, and then the less than 3 tvachim to the wall of the house, so that becomes a wall as well. Remember, the board is 10 tvachim high, and it's 4 tvachim wide. So, it's 6 and 2 bits tvachim wide. So we have an extra, all we need is 4 tvachim wide. So you have an extra to be walls around it. So we have an extra 2 tvachim and 2 bits. So we take a tefach and a bit on each side, and we imagine that you pull it in towards the wall of the house. So now you have the wall of the house, you have opposite it, 4 tvachim away, the wall of this board, it's 10 tvachim high, and then you have the tefach and a bit that we imagine that it curves in towards the wall of the house on each side, and it's 10 tvachim high, and then using lovud, we close it off, and that it's as if it seals, as if you have 4 walls. So you have 4 walls suspended. A lot of imagining. What happens, let's say, if it's in a corner of a house, you already have 2 existing walls. You have 2 existing walls, you know, flush with each other. Then you need Gaiva Yutfachim. You need the height should be 10 tvachim, and the Reichva based tvachim shei mashim. All you need is 10 tvachim high, and a tefach and a mashu on each side. So in the other corner, so you have 2 walls, north, let's say, and east, and then south and west. You have there, right there in the corner, the southwest corner, you have this board. It's 10 tvachim high, but it's 2 tvachim and 2 bits. And therefore, you take one tefach and a bit facing one direction, another tefach and a bit facing the other direction. and it's 10 tefachim high, and since it's less than 4 tefachim away, we use lavud. So you have 4 tefachim wall on those two imaginary sides. So basically you have a space in between the 4 tefachim, and therefore it's perfect. So the Gemara asks a question. We learned before on top of the page that you need actually the board should be 4 amas by 4 amas, 24 by 24. You just gave me a whole bunch of cases, but you don't even need that much. Why would you want to say you need 24 by 24? In other words, you have a hole in the middle, and then we imagine all four sides, it comes down. So Gemara says, they're talking about in the middle of nowhere. There's no walls that it abuts to that we can use as one of the walls. It was made somewhere in the middle, not next to any wall, and it's just round. And because it's round, like a mortar or something, the idea is it's not next to any wall. If it's not adjacent to any wall, then you need 4 walls. And the 4 walls, therefore, you need 24 tefachim and 4 tefachim in the middle. And you imagine these walls come down. Okay, that was today's Gemara, and we'll continue talking about these kind of chatzedes in the next few days. And let's hope